Thank you very much, Dave. And happy Sabbath, brethren.
Happy Sabbath.
I got a little lead in here of some inspiration I seen this week. I come up to a stoplight, and the car in front of me had a bumper sticker on. And usually these bumper stickers are cynical. Well, this one turned out to be spiritual. It had only 6 words on it, however. No morning prayer, no power today. Morning prayers and study are different than the evening ones because you got all morning and afternoon to meditate on them, whereas you only have a couple hours in the evening before you go to bed. Well, the name of this particular message, I've named it The Day of the Lord. And there's a lot of give and take or a lot of different possibilities that you can use here. We're going to start out in Matthew 24 and verse 1. We used to read this quite regularly, but we don't do it quite so much right now. Matthew 24 and verse 1. The disciples are in God's temples, are coming out, and they're amazed at what they've seen inside. It was gold every place. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to the buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "I'll tell you the truth. Not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." Now, that seemed like an impossibility. But in 70 AD, Titus, a magnificent general of the Roman Empire, came and destroyed Jerusalem, and he destroyed the temple as well. They brought in wood and so on, propped it up against the walls, and lit it on fire so that all the gold would melt and come down. However, there was still gold in the cracks between the blocks. So to get that gold, they had to put battering rams on there and knock all of these rocks, all of them chiseled out, down to the ground and get the gold off of them that way. So Christ knew what he was talking about. Let's go on in verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, he's not by the temple anymore. He's outside the city. The disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Now, his answer is a little bit different than what we would expect. "Watch that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming that I am the Christ, the Messiah. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed." So he's saying, don't be deceived. So many of the churches today say that when you accept Jesus Christ, when you die, you're going straight to heaven. Well, Jesus Christ has something to say about this as well. And we find it in Matthew 5 and verse 5, the Sermon on the Mount. We all know this one by heart. "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Not a word about heaven here. Just 5 or 6 words saying that this is the place we're going to inherit. After all, there's no bloodshed on the moon, or on Mars, or on Jupiter, or on Saturn, or on Mercury, or any other place. Here's where all the problems are, and here's what Christ has to straighten out, has to straighten this earth out. And he's going to do it. Such things must happen. These things have to happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes. And the word earthquakes doesn't mean just an earthquake. It means storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, gales, and earthquakes, and destruction every place. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn and turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. That's God's brethren that they're talking about here. And many false prophets. This means wicked. It means liars and so on and so on. Will appear to deceive many people. Because the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached. What does the word gospel mean? It means two words. It means good news. The gospel means good news. So when we read it that way, and this good news of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Verse 16. Then those who are in Judea, or modern Israel, flee let no one on the roof go down into take anything out of his house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in the winter or on the Sabbath. One thing the church has thought this to mean is that the modern army is equipped with tanks that run 30 miles an hour. And these trucks that they haul the soldiers in run faster than that. So they can, in a half an hour, they can cover just massive amounts of ground, and you're not likely to get anything out of your house when one of these caravans are coming. There's just a lot of problems there. Okay. This will be unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days are not cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of a group called the elect, those days will be shortened. That's God's people who he has called. That's who they're talking about. That's why the whole world will be saved. It's because of the people Almighty God has called and given his Holy Spirit. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there he is, don't believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the very elect, if that is possible. See, I've told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the desert, don't go out. Here he is in the inner rooms, don't believe it. Because as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. That's how the Messiah will be. He'll be in the air and people will be able to see him for miles and miles. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress in those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. And the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. This is cosmic uproar right here. This isn't just happening on the earth. This is happening in our solar system. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with great power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Well, we hear about wars, and the U.S. is assisting Ukraine for something like the last 2.5 years or so with billions and billions and billions of dollars. Now, the latest uprising is in Israel, and Israel is against Hamas. And now millions, not billions, but millions and millions, with a report of some 15,000 dead in Gaza, that little area there, it's amazing that that figure would be so high. And nothing is off limits. Schools are fair game and hospitals are too. If you're a nurse, you have just as much of a chance to die, a doctor, and all those people who are assisting others to live. What about rumors? Are there any rumors of war? Well, we've heard this from time to time. Is the leader of communist China going to send his troops to take back Taiwan? I'm not saying that, I'm just thinking out loud. Because we've heard that rumor occasionally. A story about money appeared in the Epic Times, since we're talking about billions and millions. And the writer was talking about the national debt. And the next year's payment could exceed $1 trillion in debt payments. Now, this money is considered interest only. None of the debt would be paid. It's just interest only. So we're talking about some major problems. A year and a half ago, nearly every house was burned to the ground on one of the Hawaiian Islands. A massive problem for thousands and thousands and thousands of our fellow Americans. They're homeless now through no fault of their own. And they will be for some time to come. But we haven't heard anything about rebuilding for whatever reason, I don't know. At least I haven't heard anything about it. Now, God has the power over these earthquakes, over these storms, these gales, these tornadoes and hurricanes, but it seems that he has taken a hands-off, non-protective approach to America recently. Don't know if that's the case, but it seems that there is more floods, destructions, and so forth today than when I was a boy growing up. It's amazing. When a foot of water covers the earth, or 6 inches for that matter, how do cattle and sheep, horses and goats, have anything to eat? There's nothing but water every place that you look. How do they survive for a while? There's water everywhere. I haven't seen any TV news or newsreel on the rebuilding of these new homes either in Hawaii. Hopefully everything is going okay. Well, from here, let's go to 2 Timothy 3, and we'll see what Paul has to say here in verse 1. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. Now, he's writing to Timothy, and he says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." Well, that sounds like just what we heard. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. And I hear from my wife a number of those cases where children are disobedient to their parents. Unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous. That's gossips. Without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. I've just read you 20 different scenarios about evil gestures and evil things that people do to one another. It's amazing. Well, let's go to verse 10. Verse 10, here Paul encourages Timothy and you and I as well. To learn to do right, learn to live right, right lies and so forth. So let's go to verse 10. Here's Paul's charge to Timothy. You, and we as well, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and from how from infancy that you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through the faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's go back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Let's see what Isaiah says about his time. Is this also a look back at Noah's time? And will it be a look at our time today? Isaiah 1. Isaiah 9. Isaiah 1, beginning in verse 3. The ox knows its master, the donkey its owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the eternal. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your heart, your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there's no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. Your country is desolate. Your cities burned with fire. Your fields are being stripped by foreigners right before you, laid waste as when overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left with shelter, left like a shelter in a vineyard. You know, where they build little lean-tos out so that the wind and rain doesn't get on. They got a little place of safety. Unless the Eternal Almighty had left us some survivors, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Eternal, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Eternal? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and of fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moon, Sabbath, and convocations, I can't bear your evil assemblies. New moon festivals and your appointed feast, my soul hates. They're ingrained with evil. Apparently the entire nation is that way. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I'll hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I'm not going to listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourself clean. The word wash I blotted out and put in the word baptize and make yourself clean, because I heard that from a minister and it made a lot of sense to me. Baptize and make yourself clean. Take your evil deeds from my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless and plead the case of the widow. Verse 18, come now, let us reason together, says the Eternal. Though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they're red as crimson, they'll be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you refuse and you rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Eternal has spoken. See how the faithful city has become a harlot? She was once full of justice. Righteousness used to dwell in her. But now, murderers. Just this week, there were three people. They were teachers in the University of Las Vegas. And some went in and cut three of them down, killed them right on the spot. Just getting to be a dangerous world almost everywhere. Your silver has become dross, and your choice wine is diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels. They're companions of thieves. They all love bribes and chase after gifts. They do not defend the cause of the fatherless, and the widow's case does not come before them. Let's go to James 1:27 in the New Testament, because James, Christ's brother, has something to say about this. James 1 and verse 27. You don't need to turn there. I'm going to read this. Religion that God the Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after, that means to take care of, orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And it didn't appear that very many people were doing that at this time. Okay, we have just a couple more verses. Therefore, the Eternal, the Lord God Almighty, the Mighty One of Israel, declares, ah, I will get relief from my foes and avenge myself on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and will thoroughly purge away the dross and remove all the impurities. Sounds a lot like America in some cases. Let's go to Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. How is all this going to change? Isaiah is saying, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and fairness from that time on and forever. He's never going to be overthrown. The zeal of the Eternal Almighty will accomplish this. Let's go to Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2 and verses 1 through 5. We see Christ governing here. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the nations. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the nation of the Eternal, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem. He will judge between nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. That 60,000-ton battleship that's moored, the Iowa, that's moored along the main channel in the harbor here in the L.A. harbor, somebody at some time in the future is going to order that thing to go to the scrapyard to build farm tractors and farm machinery. That's what he's talking about. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. No more West Points, no more Annapolis, no more naval academies. They won't be needed because there won't be any wars. God is going to put a stop to it and use his saints to help him do it. Come, O house of Jacob, let's walk in the light of the Eternal. Okay, let's see what Isaiah 2 and verse 12 is talking about. We see more of Christ in action. The Lord Almighty has a day in store for all the proud, and lofty, and all that's exalted, and they'll all be humbled. For all the cedars of Lebanon, tall and lofty, for all the oaks of Bashan, for all the towering mountains, and all the high hills, and for every lofty tower, and for every fortified wall, and every trading ship, and every stately vessel, the arrogance of man will be brought low. He's talking about Christ humbling everyone. And the pride of men humbled, and the Eternal will be exalted in that day, and the idols will totally disappear. Men will flee to caves in rocks and in holes in the ground from the dread of the Eternal and the splendor of his majesty. When he rises to shake this earth, in that day, men will throw away to the rodents and the bats the idols of silver, the idols of gold, which they made to worship. What a beautiful day that's going to be. They will flee to caverns and rocks, overhanging crags from the dread of the Eternal and the splendor of his majesty when he rises to shake this earth. Stop trusting in man, who has but a breath in his nostrils. Of what account is he? Well, they put it right on the line, Isaiah did there. Let's go to the book of Joel, Joel 2 and verse 28. Joel comes after Daniel and Hosea. Joel 2:28 to the end. And afterward, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and old men, your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness. More cosmic problems. The moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the eternal. And everyone who calls on the name of the eternal will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the eternal has said, among the survivors whom the eternal calls. We're in the book of Joel. Let's go to Joel 3 and verse 17. The blessings for God's people is what this part is entitled. Then you will know that I, the eternal your God, dwell in Zion, my holy hill. Jerusalem will be holy. Never again will foreigners invade her. In that day, the mountains will drip new wine. The hills will flow milk. The ravines of Judah will run with water. The fountain will flow out of the Lord's house and will water the valley of Acacias. But Egypt will be desolate. Edom a desert waste because of the violence done to the people of Judah, in whose land they shed innocent blood. Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem through all generations. Their blood guilt, which I have not pardoned, I will pardon. The eternal dwells in Zion. Okay, you can't have a prophecy message without visiting Zechariah 14. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to visit Zechariah 14, last chapter of the book of Zechariah, just before Malachi. A day of the eternal is coming when your plunder will be divided among you. I'll gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The city will be captured, the houses ransacked, the women raped. Half the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be taken from the city. Then the Eternal will go out and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two, east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountain moving north and the other half moving south. You will flee by the mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel. You will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, when the eternal my God will come and all the holy ones with him. On that day, there will be no light, no cold or frost. It'll be a unique day without daytime or nighttime, a day known to the eternal. When evening comes, there'll be light. On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half to the Eastern Sea, that's the Dead Sea, and the other half to the Mediterranean Sea. in summer and in winter. How beautiful is all this going to be? It's amazing. And the Eternal will be king over the whole earth. On that day, there will be one Lord, and his name, the Only One. How great is that? The whole land from Geba to Ramon, south of Jerusalem, will become like Arabah. But Jerusalem will be raised up and remain in its place. From the Benjamin Gate to the site of the Fish Gate to the Corner Gate, and from the Tower of Hanel to the Royal Wine Press. It, meaning Jerusalem, will be inhabited. Never again will it be destroyed. Jerusalem will be secure. This is the plague which the Eternal will strike all nations that fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they are still standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths. I didn't write this. I'm just a passer-oner. It's amazing how some of this stuff comes out. On that day, God will be stricken. On that day, men will be stricken by the Eternal, with great panic. Each man will seize the hand of another. They'll attack each other. Judah will fight at Jerusalem. The wealth of all the surrounding nations will be collected. Great quantities of gold and silver and clothing. A similar plague will strike the horses and mules and camels and donkeys and all the animals in those camps. Then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Eternal Almighty, and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. If any of the people of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, they'll have no rain. If the Egyptian people do not go up and take part, they will have no rain. The Eternal will bring on them the plague he inflicts on the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. This will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. On that day, holy to the Lord will be inscribed on the bells of the horses and the cooking pots, and the Eternal's house will be like the sacred bowls in front of the altar. Every pot in Jerusalem and Judea will belong to the Eternal Almighty, and all who come to sacrifice will take some of the pots and cook in them. And on that day, there will no longer be merchants in the house of the Lord Almighty. There's a lot of problems coming, but there's great satisfaction. So don't give up, because this is where it's really at. Have a great Sabbath, brethren. And we finished ahead of time. That's good.